When customers ask me which protein is best, I say it depends on your goals. To help build strength, support recovery, now the world's best protein powder formulas are buy one, get one half off. We'll find the right one for you. Just ask. We make it simple. GNC.
People say less is more. At Red Barn, we think less is better. It's what you won't find that sets our natural premium pet food apart. No byproducts, no corn or soy, no fillers. Just the natural ingredients your pets need to live the healthy life they deserve. Look at the label. We want you to. Red Barn Naturals Pet Food. Simply the best. Find it in your local pet specialty store. Visit redbarninc.com/coupon to save a dollar off your first can.
Hello and welcome to the SingingFireman.com podcast. This is an educational series for all entertainers and those who are needing to hire event entertainment. Seeing how to sell yourself to get the next gig, ideas for improving your presence during the events, and today we're going to show you some questions on how to hire a DJ for your wedding. And don't forget to check out other resources at thesingingfireman.com, where you can join our community of entertainers for free. Now let's be the 1%. You have to be different to be great. All right, today we're going to find out, give you a few questions to ask a DJ when you are planning to hire one for your wedding. This can relate also to hiring a band or ensemble or some individuals, especially for a ceremony or a reception. So, you know, some questions to ask. An in-person meeting with a handful of potential bands and DJs is probably the best way to figure out who to hire. Start with this list of important questions and don't make a decision until you get an answer from each. You want at least three. Every time I've ever had phone calls from brides or mothers or mother-in-laws or friends of the bride, I actually tell them they need to call a couple other DJs or they need to call a couple other photo booths, businesses, just to get an idea of what questions to ask and what there may be something that there's different DJs out there. Some like to get out on the floor and dance themselves and become the show. Some don't. So it's really up to the bride and groom to kind of weed that type of thing out and kind of get educated on what they need to be asking. One great question is, how would you describe your style? And what you really want to know is if their style will work with what you're going for. If you want an elegant party with lots of casual conversation, a band that describes itself as a really hard rock and roll with a lot of edge is probably not a good idea. You have to understand what they're going to be playing because there's all kinds of different likes and dislikes with DJs, with bands, with just regular singers or instrumentalists. Ask them if you can come take a quick peek at a wedding that you're working at. And then, you know, what you want to know is what you should expect on game day. Seeing them perform live will give you the best idea about what your wedding entertainment would actually sound and feel like. It also shows you how they act and how they dress. We talked on the last podcast about being professional and the attire that you wear. It's very important, and you really don't know what you're getting until you get them there or until you see them in action. Do you know our reception space and its acoustic amplification requirements? If not, will you check it out beforehand? That is a great question, and there are many times where you hire a band, DJ, musician, and they are arriving for the first time someplace, and every place is acoustically different. The power sometimes is very old and makes a lot of noise. And once you've been doing this for a long time, you get an ear for good quality music and or just quality sound. And the cleanliness of what power supply has to do with it and what the amplification, the acoustics of the place, how important of a role that they have. You need to ask them if they can play songs that are important to you, such as, you know, if you're going to go for the traditional favorites are pop rock or pop hit music or, you know, any of that specialty. The band and DJ should be able to play or learn and even download any song that you'd like. If a band says yes, but they'll need to learn and arrange it, ask them if they'll, you know, charge for that. Do you charge extra for us learning that song? Very important that you don't want to be caught with any surprises, that's for sure. How many musicians are in the band? Are you even available? How many vocalists? Are there different options as far as how many musicians, instruments that we can hire? And what you really want to know is, if you're interviewing a DJ, you want to know if she or he works with a partner, and if it's a band, who exactly would be there on the day? Because, you know, hiring only a portion of an amazing band is a smart way to stick to a budget. The thing that you have to realize is that you also are getting, maybe in a band you have five people out there that's up on stage. Is all five of them going to be dressed appropriately? Are they what you're looking for? Because more than likely, you're just speaking to the guy running the band, not the band members. So all that comes into play. You might need to rent some instruments depending on the type of performance band. There may be a contractual agreement that says you have to supply instruments and you have to supply the sound. You may even have to supply other things like food and beverages. So you want to make sure you look through that contract extra good, because you don't want to be caught off guard, especially on your wedding day. Do you plan to use lighting or any other special effects? And so what you really need to know is, beyond music, some of us will bring special lighting or effects like a fog machine, while others will stick to the regular songs that they're playing. A lot of guys don't even have lights. The guy that you're hiring or the gal that you're hiring amps up his performance with specific effects. They may be standard, they may cost extra, and a lot of times that is the case. They cost extra. So be sure to ask if all the prices written down is everything included, because lights typically are extra, and some throw them in and some don't. Now, there's pros and cons with lights too. Because depending on the light show, remember at a wedding you have anywhere from a newborn baby to a grandparent that may be 95, 98 years old. Everyone reacts differently to flashing lights. And as important as it is to have maybe a lighting effect, a lot of flashing lights disturb some people out there in the audience, and it's best to have maybe certain lights, but not overdo it. You know, strobe lights to me are completely out. Other lights, as far as using what they call par lights that kind of go with the beat of the music, as long as it's not overly fast, it tends to complement the music and complement the reception. So now who does the setup? That's another question. The day of the wedding, someone needs to set up the sound system, usually someone from the company supplying the music. But you'll need to give that person to the venue coordinator and arrange the time that they're supposed to be there. That works for everybody. Sometimes you have to get in there really early. Sometimes it's only an hour and a half prior to the event. So that's very important that you coordinate those minor details with the entertainment. How do you ensure a comfortable sound level for all the guests? Well, you want to have a plan for dealing with volume control and the sound sensitive guest. Like I was saying, there's sensitive guests to lighting, and there's also sound sensitive. One of the things that drives me crazy as an entertainer is when I'm up there and I have a quality sound system, and I'll probably have a podcast about it, but I use the Bose L1 or L2 system, and it's a crystal clear sound with an Apple computer. So, and I have a conditioner to conditions the electric coming in. So it cleans it up, and it's a very professional sound. You can stand right next to the speaker and actually have a conversation, which is very amazing, and it doesn't matter what age group you are. But there's a lot of speakers out there that as soon as you start turning it up, it distorts, and it really hurts your ears, or it's uncomfortable, and there's sensitive ears out there. So what your 14-year-old cousin thinks is perfect is going to be different than what your 98-year-old grandma is willing to put up with. If you have a red-hot dance party going, you don't want people who are participating to have to shout like they're at a crowded bar. Because remember, as much, I mean, this is going to be a pressure cooker for you leading up to your wedding, but as much as you want it to be one big party, the whole object of this thing is a celebration. And it's not to make it a bar or a dance club. The idea of the reception is to complement the wedding ceremony. You don't want to minimize what this day really means by having barroom, Friday night dance club, and push away the grandparents that spent all day there, and they probably came into town just to see you guys. So yeah, anyway, you really want to make sure that the band and the DJ is okay with you telling them to turn down the sound if they need to. Now, what do you typically wear is a great one, because the band and the DJ will usually have several professional, unobtrusive choices for you to pick from, such as a tuxedo or simple coordinated outfits, like black shirts and black slacks. You need to sit down with he or she and kind of go over what they're supposed to be wearing. You sit with the wrong person and you don't ask that question, they're going to show up to your wedding in a t-shirt and shorts. I've seen it done, and it's embarrassing to me as an entertainer to see another person do that. I've seen so many photographers do that, and I don't understand it, because the photographer's there during the ceremony and the reception, and all the pictures that he or she's taking and running around and doing the, and they're in raggedy shirt and shorts, or they're in, old jeans and a polo that they shouldn't even be wearing. And so I just don't understand it. Now, how many hours are included in the package? This is a great one. I would say the majority of DJs and the majority of entertainment, excluding photographers, but DJs, photo booths, things like that, you're booking one of two different ways. You're booking for 4 hours, and then any hour after that is overtime. Some DJs will book until midnight, and some will actually book till the party's over. What I've found myself, and is I usually just do the 4 hours with overtime, because if I do it all night until everybody leaves, then typically I'm only playing after midnight, at least. I'm only playing to maybe 10 people. And it's just not worth that to me. The ceremony, the reception is over at that time, and a radio could be sufficient after that. So I would say the majority either go to midnight, or they go to book 4 hours at a time. And actually 9 out of 10 weddings are within 4 hours. Very few go to 5 and 6. It's just people have been there all day long. They're hungry. They've got kids. They bring them home. There's a lot of factors that factor into this. How do they handle song requests? You know, the song request anymore, they should be able to download it on their computers. If they're not able to do that, probably need to ask them why, and if there's a way they can do it. I guess the question that I always ask the bride or the person that's helping the bride out is, have you checked with the venue to see if they even have Wi-Fi? I can download anything as long as it can, if I have Wi-Fi there available. The DJ or the band, when they sit down with you about a month prior to the event, should be going over the whole itinerary. So if there's anything additional, which there usually is, that needs to be presented to them. And then they can get on the microphone and they can let people know certain specifics that they need to know for that day. Also, a good rule of thumb is, how many weddings do you typically do a year, and how long have you been in business? Have you ever did a wedding before? And that's a really good question. What is the, do you have any insurance, liability insurance? Some people do, some people don't. What's the backup plan if there is an equipment malfunction? That is actually a great question that never, ever gets asked. Guy who is a professional will have some sort of a backup plan, because if he's been doing it for any length of time, he knows things happen. And so he should have a plan what he will do. You need to ask them what their cancellation policy is. You need to ask them, if we're doing it outside and it rains and we have to cancel, what is our obligation? Motivating a shy crowd, that's another good one. So there's certain specifics that you really just need to get into and find out what kind of DJ or what kind of band, what kind of music they like playing. And hopefully that person will, especially a DJ, was going to ask you for a favorites list, and they're going to also ask you for a do not play list. That is very important, because the favorites list, I may not play personally. I may not play every song on that list, but it gives me a good idea of the genre that the bride and groom like. And regardless of everyone else in the room, that is who the DJ and band is there for, is the bride and groom. And what they like is what we're playing. And if there's anything offensive, any offensive music, which there's plenty of it right now, and that DJs play without even thinking about it, but a good rule of thumb and something that I would try to stick to with when you're hiring a DJ, a questionable song comes up. Even radio songs, there's some that's questionable that just may not be appropriate for this wedding reception. That the bride is asked, when someone requests it, the bride is asked whether or not I should play this song or not. And I don't play it until the bride says, yes, you can. That is just a professional side that I try to live by. It typically works, and I think the brides appreciate it, because the last thing you want is, you don't want grandparents and, you know, taking offense to a song that a DJ just played, when it's just as simple to get that approval through the bride. So we only have a few minutes left, but I'd like to thank those listening and those in the future that download this podcast. You need to be the 1%. Do what no one else does. Practice like you perform. Do whatever it takes. Failure means try again a different way. The word no means no, not right now. Be the 1%. Thank you very much.
unlimited plan costs $95 per month for a smaller network, plus monthly taxes and fees. It's enough to wreck your day. Cricket's unlimited plan gives you a bigger network for $25 less per month, with monthly taxes and fees included. Cricket Wireless, something to smile about.
Download speeds max of 8 megabits per second LTE and 4 megabits per second 4G. Price comparison based on one smartphone line with unlimited plan. Mobile hotspot not available. Activation, other fees and restrictions apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Terms, features, and restrictions subject to change. See store for details.
Adding the choice of a crispy chicken BLT to Wendy's 4 for 4 is the biggest thing since rappers trying to sing.
I got me a yacht and I sound like a robot.
But do you like the sound of this? Wendy's 4 for 4 now comes with a choice of a junior bacon cheeseburger or a crispy chicken BLT.
From Detroit to Macon, I keep it crisp like bacon.
Both are topped with crispy applewood smoked bacon and come with 4 nuggets, fries, and a Coke for just $4.
Oh, yeah.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time, meal includes small fries and a drink. Not valid in Alaska and Hawaii.